Well, from the debate stages of Vegas to the master wizard, Trump kill shots and broadcasting from a small derelict vine-covered pumpkin patch vegetable stand, Kelly O'Connell here. All right, so the Tea Party was supposed to come back so we could continue this debate. And Bev Courtney is on her way. Now, believe it or not, I called up Don Kurtz. He runs the PVA, the Progressive Voter Alliance, and I asked him if he wanted to come on and be a counterweight, and I introduced myself, and he said he didn't think so. He didn't think it'd be a good fit. So Don Kurtz, he was curt. He was not impolite, but he got off the phone pretty damn quick. But Don Kurtz, I'd like you to come on the show. Let's have a debate. Let's debate the great issues of this city. Why not, man? I don't know really anything about this guy, but although I don't think he listens to the show, but he's apparently pulling the, you know, he's doing the wizard stuff. He's pulling the levers and such to get the most progressive people elected. And from what I understand, has gotten a large number of these progressive people in office. So I'd love to have a debate with this guy. Don, you can come on my show and you can bring your mother to judge the outcome if you want. I don't care. It'd be a good debate. All right. Anyway, Don, you're welcome on the show anytime. Speaking of debates, it is confirmed that the mayor is irritated at my suggestion that he might go back to sumo wrestling. He's very irritated, I think, or at least his supporters are. He didn't directly say anything to me. I called him, and he didn't take my call. Maybe he was busy. He could have been part of a hostage negotiation. You know, there could have been somebody up on a building that he was helping talk down. But in any event, his people are incensed that I suggested that he could go back. It was, you know, just a humble joke, but they didn't take it that way. It was a broadside against, according to them, one of the greatest politicians this city has ever seen. I understand that. I understand the fury. But in any event, Mayor, we got to get you on the show here. I don't think that the mayor is coming on the show. And the reason that I say that is that I asked him before if he would come on Fridays. And as if memory serves me, he basically said that he couldn't. And so then I said, well, you can come any day of the week and I'll just rearrange the schedule. And he said he'd get back to me. And then after we interacted a little bit, the thing, he wanted a recording of the statements about sumo wrestling. And so I think he didn't directly say that. He just asked for him. He texted me that. But anyway, I said, why don't you come on? You can come on Friday. And he said he was busy. And then I said, well, you can come on any day, 2 hours. That's 10 total hours. Most people, even mayors of cities, are not doing anything between 6 and 7 other than shaving or brushing their teeth. So, Mayor Ken, I have a feeling that you may be avoiding me Although I don't know. I don't think I've ever done anything that obnoxious. But I told Mike McKay, I said, if Mayor Ken wants to come on the show and have a debate with Miguel and Gina, I said, I'll let you, you know, you run the dials if you want, if Mayor Ken's a little bit nervous. So anyway, Mayor Ken, let's come on the show. The conservatives of this county are real people too. And if you come on the show, you'll be talking to them. And they would appreciate that, of course. All right. So who won the debate last night? Supposedly, it was Bernie Sanders. And but I just the little bit that I heard, because I got a couple of phone calls, pardon me. The thing that I heard was that I heard it. Hillary sounded, she sounded pretty dang good. I mean, I you know, she's obviously had a lot of time in front of the bright lights. All right, so, but here's the Drudge poll. Sanders was said to have won by 58%, 140,000 votes. I'll just kind of round these off for you. Number two, James Webb, 58,000, 24%. O'Malley and Clinton, approximately 16,000. Well, Clinton has 18,000. O'Malley has 16,500, but they're both at 7%. And then Chafee percent at about 10,000. So I've got a little clip of some highlights, because I know some of the people didn't really want to. Some, you know, even Bill Clinton didn't go to the debate. I think he may have been having a bimbo eruption. Oh my gosh! Well, this is certainly sad news. I just last night I got a video debate highlights from USA Daily or USA Today, and it's already been taken down on YouTube. YouTube's getting pretty grabby here. Should just let the people post their videos. But it was 3 minutes of the best of the debate, which I'm looking for here for you. But let me see what I, well, let's see. All right. So let me, all right, here's better than nothing. Although my heart had is a little broken by the fact that they pulled down my USA Today 3 minute best of. And the debate wasn't really exciting. The debate for the Republicans was 10,000 times better, and it was boring, and a lot of the media didn't show up. But I was impressed by how well Hillary seemed very composed. And I guess she's got a lot of crisis management. But, well, all right, so let me take a little. Okay, I've got some other news for you. But I'll, what I'm going to do is let me play, because I have another clip for you here. Here is the explanation that Sanders, not to be confused with the colonel, that General Sanders won the debate. Check this out.
Well, pollster Frank Luntz has put together a focus group for us, picking a cross-section of voters from the key swing state of Florida tonight. And when it comes to creating moments, it looks like Bernie Sanders got some of the strongest reactions. Joining me now, CEO of Luntz Global, Frank Luntz. Hiya, Frank. What'd you find out?
Hey, Megan. Now, we got Democrats here, 28 Democrats. How many of you walked in here supporting Hillary Clinton? Raise your hands. Half of you. How many of you are still supporting Hillary Clinton? Only a small percentage. So who won the debate?
Bernie Sanders!
Give me a word or phrase to describe Bernie Sanders tonight.
For the people. Strong.
Straightforward.
Confident.
Insider and outsider.
Direct.
Sincere.
Powerful.
Educator.
Smart.
But he's a socialist. He actually answered the question about being a socialist. I know you're nodding your head no. He's proud of being a socialist. Do you really think this guy can win? Do you? In the back.
I don't think he can. I don't think he can. He's a populist. I understand the appeal of his proposals, but I don't think he can win.
I think the unrest I think the unrest in the country regarding looking for radical change to some of the problems we've been facing is so deep that this could be the year that someone like that gets in.
So I want to show the people back home something. The highest moment of the debate, the one that this group thought was absolutely incredible, was about Hillary Clinton, but it wasn't delivered by Hillary Clinton. It was delivered by Bernie Sanders. Let's listen.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The American people want to know whether we're going to have a democracy or an oligarchy as a result of Citizens United. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
Incredible. So I got to ask you, why was that moment so powerful to you that you guys were in the 90s? I heard several people saying you wanted to turn your dial beyond 100. What was it?
He said, enough about the email. Let's get to the topics. He was almost protecting her and being a man about it, a gentleman, and say, let's get to what the real topics are. I thought that was very respectable.
It's just such a non-issue. And I'm glad that he addressed it like that and got it out of the way.
What I liked is that he was stronger on the issue than she was, which scared me because I wish that she would have said it to protect herself more than he had to say it for her.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of lame because they've never really talked about it before. And the first time comes up, he shoots it down, which I'm sure was psychologically astute. But at the same time, I mean, people who are in the Democratic Party deserve an answer as a preview of what she's going to say in the.
I'm Chris Kapp.
If she gets into
the political reporter at the Boston Herald, the first Democratic debate is over. Hillary Clinton is still standing, and that might be one of the lasting moments of the debate.
For her to get up
she was talking about the committee that has been charged to investigate the attacks of the Benghazi.
It's a non-issue. I mean, there's still an ongoing investigation. Anyway, so I'll see if I can find some highlights. I'm shocked that they took that down, but 6:18, we got Tea Party people coming, and then I've got some judges showing up, or judge candidates. I've got a Judge Ryan coming, and I've got a hold of Bill Kinsella, who's also running, so we'll have a little back and forth with them. 6:18, Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450, 805-6180, your text, which reminds me I have to go get the text machine from the car, and we're going to be back and have a few debate highlights. Hey, it's Kelly here, and I'm going to play you debate highlights. I'm going to play you some debate highlights at the next hour, but right now we've got Bev Courtney back here and Chuck Wendler, and I called Don Kurtz. I couldn't think of anybody else. I'm thinking who would come on. I mean, Don Kurtz is the head of this PVA, which I honestly... To be totally honest, and maybe I should be embarrassed for this, I don't really know that much about them. And Bev just about fell over in her chair right there, but unrelated. She just lost her headphone. But anyway, I was trying to think of someone who wouldn't be afraid to come and stand up for their beliefs, who is pretty far on the left, who I know would probably be opposed to the Tea Party having a place in the city. I couldn't think of anybody else. He politely declined and said it wasn't a good fit. But anyway, welcome back to the show, Bev and Chuck. And in the last 24 hours, have you learned anything else? Have we heard anything? Has the city contacted you? Has anybody apologized? Has there been more of an explanation for this outrageous act of censorship?
Good morning, Las Cruces. But no, Kelly, the answer to that is no. I don't expect them to do anything, but anything is possible, and I always have hope.
I'm calling on the mayor, even if you weren't involved in this decision, Mayor Ken, and I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that you weren't, to call on your city that you're the head of, that you are also running to get reelected, to ask the rest of the city to cooperate with the Tea Party and have your forum. Chuck, have you heard anything?
No, I certainly haven't. But in response to some of your words you just mentioned, I certainly am disappointed that Mr. Kurtz is not here present. I was really looking forward to that. I think to be able to provide another voice in this talk here this morning would be most enlightening. And I do appreciate Walt Rubel being here yesterday morning.
I thought he played it real straight, well, you know.
He did, and I certainly, as we left, I told him I appreciated the opportunity to sit down with him and have an intelligent discussion about some of these things, even though we disagree, but we do have the right to disagree with each other, right? So we need to keep on with these kinds of conversations. So thank you, Kelly, for the format here, allowing us to do this.
Well, anytime there's a debate in the city, I'd like to invite anybody who's involved in it, whether it's right or left. I mean, the default of talk radio is conservative, of course, but this is the only show in town. And anybody from any part of the political spectrum is invited. Just get a hold of me and we'll bring your issues on. And if we can have a debate, even better.
You know, I'm remembering yesterday, I think the lady that called in, Kathy was her name. She made a comment about, well, I've heard about the Tea Party and blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, oh, wait a minute. That's one of the challenges that we face. We base so much of our decision upon hearsay instead of facts. And I think that's most unfortunate. So here's an opportunity, folks. Any of you that want to come in and sit down and have a good, honest, intelligent, rational debate, here we are. Bev and I are allowing ourselves to enter into that debate.
Well, in case you missed the show yesterday and haven't heard about this on social media, the Tea Party was informed by phone call that they were not allowed to have a candidate forum at the city hall like the other groups because they're partisan. And that was stated to them. And then there was some sort of a follow-up email and Facebook and stuff. But the way it was handled was very amateur and without any explanation for what the process was. And there's a couple of different things here. From as an attorney, the process is everything. Due process is everything. The city just can't arbitrarily decide who's in and who's out. There has to be a system for doing it that's fair. Number one, and number two, free speech. I mean, the government should be trying to foster more free speech, not less.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. When they passed that hate crimes bill some time back, it set up a situation that really could damage our free speech, First Amendment right. People need to understand that because this thing, once you get something like that going, where is it going to lead to? You know, it's getting to be where we have to be so politically correct anymore. We can't have humor. And I'll tell you what, humor certainly helps us to get through the day, does it not?
It does. And I want to play and just ask for your response. 523-1450-8056-180. Here is the clip that has apparently angered the Ken Miyagashima followers. And tell me, is it over the line? Let's check it out from last week.
It's Kelly here, and I've heard that Mayor Ken may return to sumo wrestling. And well, that would be a great loss for our city, wouldn't it? But he misses the belly bumping. He misses the rub downs, the camaraderie with the other sumo wrestlers. And he misses, quite frankly, the warm sake. Maybe we'll do a show on his past exploits. Anyway, we've got Phil.
All right, so that was it. But in any event, I didn't have anybody personally complain to me or text me or call. But apparently Ken Miyagashima's people felt like it was over the line, 523-1450. Honestly, it was just perhaps a pathetic stab at comedy, but Mayor, we'd like to get you on the show here, and we'd like to pick your brain, and we'd love to have a debate between you and Gina and Miguel, and if you're worried about the fairness of the show. And I don't remember anybody ever leaving the show telling me they thought they had been treated unfair, but because we want it, all jokes aside, we want a straight up forum here. But Mayor, come on the show and defend your ideas, explain your ideas to the conservative listeners and the liberal listeners, all the listeners.
I am glad that you are trying to invite the other side, if you will, Kelly, because I have been trying to reach out to the other side in the Tea Party. They've actually been very gracious. But one of the Democrats came over, is going to speak at the Tea Party. And the reason that he agreed to do it after first saying no is because people on Facebook said, we are tired of partisan politics. You represent all of the people, so you should go talk to them also. Go do it. And the overwhelming response is people are just disgusted with the left and with the right. So here's a group you could invite. How about Cafe?
Cafe's been on the show before.
Oh, I wished I would have heard it. Try it again so I can listen.
I need direction from Beverly. Hold on a second. Better turn down that mic before she has a tantrum here. Here's the thing. Anybody is welcome on this show, and I don't think people understand that. If you've got an issue that you want to talk about, I don't remember ever telling anybody, and I'm totally serious on this, I don't remember ever telling anybody you can't come on my show because of what they stood for. I mean, and this is just me. I enjoy debate, and I like listening to other people's opinions. Anybody who would like to come on the show and has something, that's the only thing, the only question is it interesting? That's it. If people would be interested in it, I'll bring them on. I could care less if they're a radical lesbian Marxist, you know? That would be a great show. I've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Morning. This is Art.
Hey, Art. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. You know, I drop in and out of Tea Party meetings. I love the organization, and it is an inclusive group. And it's just astonishing to me how the media and the left have turned this whole attitude about the Tea Party sour with their propaganda and their misinformation.
I couldn't agree more, Art. I couldn't agree more. And it reminds me that I think that on the left, happens to do this more on the right, if they can't beat somebody, they'll turn them into a monster.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The Tea Party is very inclusive. It's the left that's exclusive, and it squashes opposition and contrary ideas. They want to eliminate the conservative voice in America completely. They want to just push it all out and push it all down and take over and not have any another side of the debate. And it was real evident in that the snatches I've heard from the debate last night, it's pathetic. I would have listened to more, but I wanted to keep my dinner down, and I enjoyed my dinner.
Well, I really think that they had to fight to get one debate going in the Democratic Party. And I think that the way that the Republicans did it, which was kind of this, you know, free range way that everybody was talking back to one another and given plenty of time. I love that forum or format.
Yeah, it was great. It was really refreshing.
Yeah.
Really refreshing.
Well, Art, would you like to hear the mayor come on my show and talk about his plans for the future?
Yes, I think he should get the backbone to come on your show and find a sense of humor, enough humor and gut to come on and talk to you and hear some questions from people when he's not surrounded by his coterie of supporters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Thanks for the call, Art. Great call. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Honoring Sinatra. Sinatra, an incredible stylist. 634 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. You have the Tea Party here and an empty seat where the opposition should be sitting. Don Kurtz was invited, and he said he didn't think it was, and he couldn't have been nicer, of course, but he said he didn't think it was a good fit. But Don, you're welcome anytime you want to come on. And folks, we'll be back. We're going to get more into the city situation here.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your head and walk with me.
I got the Tea Party here. Okay, so, folks, the Tea Party president and vice president, Bev Courtney and Chuck Wendler, guys, what's the best argument to make that you should be allowed to use the city building for your candidate forum?
I believe our ideology is different, but they're just discriminating and being prejudiced.
All right, so let me interpret that. I think the best argument you're making here is that you guys represent a certain set of beliefs, but that you're not prejudiced. You may have a bias in how what you think is right or wrong, good or bad, but you're not any different than any of these other groups, and these other groups are being allowed to use the city hall to express their free speech. And the main thing is free speech to get information to the voters about the candidates.
Thank you, Kelly. I believe that we actually are the most unbiased group because there's no agenda, there's no money, there's no special interest. It's just limited government, because what happened, the Tea Party saw that especially the federal government was encroaching on the rights of all the people, and they've got their tentacles into every 50 states. The 10th Amendment is out. The 4th Amendment was out. Even the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and then we're being taxed beyond.
Well, all right. So, but one of the things is these buildings were paid for by the city, by the people that live in the city. So, I mean, and you guys are citizens.
And they're using our taxes for arbitrary, lawless things that are not within the bounds of the state constitution or the United States Constitution. So if they're not going to follow the Constitution, we need to find out why and where it is going. Bernie Sanders is campaigning as a socialist. And it all sounds really good, but you need to see where the consequences of socialism take you. It's big collective government with all the power, with all the money, and there's never been an experiment in history that shows that socialism does anything else. Takes away the rights of the people, and takes away the wealth. They hate the middle class, and they'll talk about saving the middle class.
Chuck,
they're actually plundering it.
Chuck, what's your feeling on this decision for the, you know, when you guys were told you were biased in a way, or you were what's the term they used?
We supposedly they said that we were partisan, as I understand it, and I'm
partisan,
saying
partisan.
Yes.
So, what's your response to that? You guys are partisan.
Well, we're not partisan, for God's sakes. We're Americans. We believe in the basic values that formed this country, for heaven's sakes. And the forum, you understand what a forum is? A forum is an opportunity to present your views, and that's what we were doing. We were willing to get out there and put together an opportunity for these different candidates to meet the public and express their ideas, okay, and for the public to meet them. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's not unlike any of the other organizations that have done that as well, the NAACP, the League of Women Voters. Those are organizations that have done that as well. We were just following suit. And so why is it that we would be not allowed to do the same as they have in the city chambers? To us, it's just a real simple, common sense kind of thing.
523-1450, 523-1450, if you think the Tea Party should be allowed to do their forum or not do it. And I misread one of the texts yesterday. it wasn't Kathy who said that she joined, of course, because Kathy, although is a smart lady, has fallen for the propaganda, has drunk deep of the Kool-Aid on this one as well. It was somebody else who texted that I joined it myself, Kathy. But we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. This is Jim again. How are you
today? Jim, good morning. And what's on your mind, Jim?
Well, I'm listening to the forum. Excuse me, the forum again. And I think I called him yesterday and mentioned to you that any candidate that's running, not willing to go on the show, is showing that he's not willing to take the questions from the people who are going to be doing the voting because he's afraid that he's going to have to answer something that might hurt him or her in running for mayor.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, the mayor is claiming righteous indignation. He and his followers feel they feel slighted by the allusions to sumo wrestling. Do you think this is a reason for him to not come on the show?
Well, that would be actually more of a reason to come on the show because I think, Kelly, personally, this is how I feel. And when you are doing something, or let's put it this way, when you are representing something that is against what you believe, you would want to defend that. And so for him not to willing to come in and just say, hey, I understand, I accept that you're having fun with me. I'm going to defend myself about whatever else he's got to say. But I think it's more than that for Miyagashima. He's afraid to get asked questions about policies that matter to the city. What scares him.
The last time he came on, he took some buckshot in the rear end. But, he doesn't have to come in his loincloth, Jim. I mean, that's,
how that goes. But I think progressivism is done by mind control because, and forgetting the fact that Walt's not there, I have nothing against Walt, but generality, the printed press is very biased.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for the call. Have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Steve. Good morning.
Steve, good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I wanted to ask the two folks representing the Tea Party. I couldn't follow yesterday's discussion. Is the Tea Party, you said met in the generic term, or is there a specific registered with the state official Tea Party? There is, for example, with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party.
Well, okay, I think that we had talked about this yesterday, and I understand it was a little bit confusing. The Tea Party is basically a phrase that's applied to a bunch of groups across the United States. It's not an actual political party. Now, some people run as Republican Tea Party candidates, but that the Tea Party is not a candidate. It is not a political party. It's just an interest group, basically.
Yeah, there's two parts to that. One is that there is actually an independent party registered with the state, and they have certain people that are the official contact persons, et cetera. And they have some requirements. You have to hold elections, you have to hold meetings, et cetera, to stay registered. And I still don't know if there is an actual registered Tea Party in New Mexico. The second part, and the part of the reason it prompts me is because somebody invited me to or encouraged me to attend a Democratic Party fundraiser, and it was supposed to be for Ken Miyagashima.
Okay.
So I don't know. And so that when we start mixing parties in with a nonpartisan race, it starts to become very confusing.
Well, that it is a partisan race, that there is Republicans and Democrats in the mayor's race, right?
It's not a partisan race in the sense that they have to run and win a primary and then gain that official support, the endorsement of that party. There's no such thing.
What do you mean there's no such thing?
There's no such primary contest. So, and part of the, I hate to say it, but part of the inside game in the city elections is people hang back and they want to see, well, maybe if there's three Republicans running or three Democrats running, I'll run as the outsider and they'll split their vote. But in any case, nobody has any official backing from any official party because there's not been a primary. Do you understand? In other
it's
words, usually the primary
be.
Is held in the first Tuesday in June, and that's when you gain or lose their official position on the ballot. So none of these folks can be said to be officially representing any party. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the purpose and spirit of the charter.
All right, but Steve, you're obviously well-educated on this, but isn't the general, Republican Democrat stamp give an indication of what these people stand for?
No, I don't think so. It's so general these days that you have massive battles. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Republican candidates, right? They represent a huge spectrum of opinion. Say, perhaps the Democrat Party, when you look from one side of Mr. Webb to Bernie Sanders. So there's all this battling, and one of the phrases that I always quote in politics is, it's usually the narcissism of small differences.
Interesting.
So you have these intense battles between certain candidates, maybe in this mayoral race, but from a distance, it doesn't look like there's much of a difference.
Well, if one party, one person's in favor of growth, it seems to me there has to have been something, and we're running out of time here, in terms of the ads and the time left, but if there's one if the city hasn't grown for quite a while, I mean, what did we put on 300 jobs in the county 2 years ago or whatever? Mm-hmm. Seems like they have a no growth mandate. If someone comes in for growth, to me, that would be that could be a huge difference in outcomes.
Right, and that's a perfect example, Kelly. I'll let you go on this. There's probably just as many Democrats that are pro growth.
Right.
Republicans that are pro-growth.
I agree.
And so half the people are against growth, half are for it, let's say, and there's no correlation with their party registration.
All right. Okay, I can see that. Well, and maybe the smaller the town, the more this type of difference or non-difference exists. Thanks for the call. Great call. Folks, we got to take a break here, and we'll be back, and I'll let the Tea Party sum up their position. But they want a place at the table. They want to be able to come to the city like any other group and have their forum and ask their questions. We'll be right back at 6:49.
Here's your Las Cruces in Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOBE.
In today's weather forecast, sunny skies. High should hit a very warm 90 today. A little breezy this afternoon with light winds out of the south. Going to tonight, mostly clear skies in the forecast. Low will be down to around 59. Those south winds will continue throughout the night. And a look at Thursday should be mostly sunny with a high of around 88. That's the buzz on weather on KOBE 1450.
For the entire month of October, Mark Dime presents Beer for Baby. Local businesses such as Bucket Brewery Company and High Desert Brewery Company will be donating $1 to the Mark Dime from every select beer ordered. And Main Street Bistro will be donating 25 cents per draft. Donate for the baby.
What will you do with all the money you'll save at the Borman Autoplex of Las Cruces? Well, you could buy a diamond-covered lunchbox filled with chimichangas and rainbows, put it in the work refrigerator, and go out for lunch anyway. Hey, it's your money. Do what you want with it. With Autoplex exclusive no-hassle, one-price savings, you can choose from over 20 acres of America's top brands and save like crazy. That means you can get a new 2016 Ford Escape at the Autoplex for just $19,999. Or check out a new Ford F-150 XLT Super Cruise, just $27,999. And save $11,000 on all F-250 Lariat Super Duty trucks. All you have to do is come to the Autoplex and then decide what you're going to do with the money you're going to save. Buying a car is easy with one price savings on the lot or online at BormanAutoplex.com.
La Casa, the domestic violence shelter, has partnered with the Allstate Foundation this October to bring awareness to domestic violence and abuse while raising critical funds for the Purple First Challenge. October awareness activities continue with a candlelight vigil at 800 Walnut starting at 5 p.m. This event is free and open to the public at all ages. So mark your calendar for October 15th with a candlelight vigil starting at 5 p.m. at 800 Walnut. La Casa Incorporated has been serving from the county since 1981.
What do Fortune 500 companies do when they need to buy new workspace?
they call Regis, employing 100 offices. With Regis, you can easily expand today and get your people up and running tomorrow. With fully furnished tech-powered co-working spaces, offices, and admin support, Regis manages the details so you can focus on your business. Short-term, long-term, all on your terms. Regis makes it easy and affordable. Call Regis now at 1-800-OFFICES and get a free office or meeting room for a day. Regis, here to help you grow.
There's a whole new take on tile at Home Depot. The latest trend, newest style, unexpected finishes, like 12 by 24 inch tile from the Metro Porcelain Tile Collection for only $1.99 a square foot. That's a modest price for a very modern tile that'll match your budget beautifully. Let's do this. Take tile places it's never been, starting at your house and the Home Depot. More savings, more doing. Offered last year's perfect example.
There will come a time when you finally say, I'm so over my cell phone plan. So why not change your SIM? Keep your phone and keep your freedom with Simple Mobile. Simple Mobile's 30-day plan start at just $40 with 4G LTE high-speed data. Take charge today. Take the simple way at simplemobile.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com. To get 4G LTE speed, you must have a 4G LTE capable device and 4G LTE SIM. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day Super Sale, October 16th through the 19th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Starting the day the right way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
Folks, Kelly here, and we do have the Tea Party here, and they want to tell when their candidate forum is, and they're scrambling. I'm going to play the clip again, though, of the statement that the mayor is responding to this. They're upset. I want 523-1450. You thumbs up, thumbs down. Did I go too far? Check that. That Mayor Ken may return to sumo wrestling. And well, that would be a great loss for our city, wouldn't it? But he misses the belly bumping. He misses the rub downs, the camaraderie with the other sumo wrestlers. And he misses, quite frankly, the warm sake. Maybe we'll do a show on his past exploits. Anyway, we've got Philip Van Veen here. All right, that was it. But maybe it was too. Maybe maybe being on the show for years has hardened me against the sensitivities of some people that might be artistic, or, you know, I mean, the mayor seems very artistic to me. So in any event. If you think it's too far, if the mayor is right in holding back, to be fair, the mayor had already, I think, indicated that I had asked him to come any day that he wanted. I'd clear the decks. He never got back to me. And then Mike McKay, who runs the place, said, are we going to get the mayor on? And I said, well, you know, I'm trying. And then I guess I muffed it up a little bit by alluding to his past athletic achievements. But here we have a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Deborah.
Deborah, good morning to you. And are you here to fight for the mayor?
I was very disturbed with the mayor. It was a year ago, May. Let me turn this radio down.
Thanks, okay. Deborah. That's the first time you've ever done that. I'm touched. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I went to speak to him personally, and he had said, because, you know, I'm always with this rental situation, this substandard housing. Supposedly, he had a rental property. He asked me a question about people with disabilities, and I gave him a flat-out answer. And he says he was called a slumlord himself. My disturbing situation is this. He said he cannot do anything to change to make a quality of living in your rental apartment any better. He says he can't go do anything the state legislator, they have to go by with the state legislator. I beg to differ with him because
Deborah,
the Councilman Skiva.
Deborah, what? We're running out of time. Just give us 10 seconds more. What was your beef with the mayor? He's not helping out with handicapped housing, and he himself is a slumlord.
Well, substandard housing.
Yeah.
He says he can't do anything about it.
We
got to
ask him.
Silva says he'll put in the codes again.
Yeah, let's do it. Deborah. Folks, if I tell you you have 10 seconds and you try to take 5 minutes, it's not going to work out. But we appreciate the call from Deborah. I want enough time so the Tea Party can announce their forum.
Our forum is Thursday evening, this Thursday, October 15th at 6:30 p.m. And we're holding it at New Covenant Fellowship. And that is 20 Holy Cross Road and South Main. You just keep traveling south through Messiah Park and you'll see it on the left about a mile out from Messiah Park. And anyway, I do want to commend the speakers, the candidates that have agreed to come over to the Tea Party. They, to me, know that they're representing all the people, and I am very pleased to let you know who they are.
Briefly, we're running out of time.
Okay, Gregory Smith is coming. Philip Van Veen, those are both District 2. Gilbert Vasquez, District 4. Judge Kieran Ryan, and Miguel Silva, who's current councilman, is running for mayor, is coming.
Hurry along, please.
And the mayor candidate, Gina Ortega. Thank you all.
Is the mayor coming to your candidate forum?
No, he politely declined.
Shame on you, Mayor Ken. Shame on you, Mayor Ken. Get over to that candidate forum. Folks, if you're running for office and you get into office, you're going to be representing the entire city. Please don't cut off part of the constituency and pretend that they don't matter or that you're too good for them. That's just very appalling. Mayor Ken, shame on you. Shame on you. And get out there. Come on the show. But you cannot hide. Thanks for coming on the show, guys, the Tea Party. But stop blocking the city of Las Cruces stop blocking the Tea Party and other groups from having forums on city property. And let's get all the candidates to all the forums. I'm calling on every single candidate to come on this morning. We've got Judge Ryan and we have Bill Kinsella, and we'll be right back.
All summer long, we sang a song, and then we stole that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like faded.
Well, I came here. I have dragged myself out of bed. I did say thank you.
Yeah, she just said thanks. I did.
Yeah, Kelly.
I enjoyed it.
I wanted to respond to
that. Okay, so let me apologize for it, but anyway, I thank you for that.
Okay.
Well, it's your show, and you have a lot of people. That's why he went to hug. That was all, see?
That's all right. I'm in the tower. Thank you.
Quasimodo.
Okay, so I've got the judicial candidates here, but first let me play a little clip from last night from the debate, some highlights, and supposedly my buddy Bryce, who's in love with Bernie Sanders, is supposed to be calling in. So, but anyway, he called in about 25 minutes ago when we were talking about the city, and I couldn't take the call. But here's a little of the debate highlights.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you.
Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yeah. Senator Sanders did vote 5 times against the Brady Bill. Since it was passed, more than 2 million prohibited purchases have been prevented. He also did vote, as he said, for this immunity provision. I voted against it. I was in the Senate at the same time. It wasn't that complicated to me.
But I come from a rural state, and the views on gun control in rural states are different than in urban states, whether we like it or not.
Senator, on that issue. Senator, it was not about rural and
exactly
urban.
About
Have you ever been to the Eastern Shore? Have you ever been to Western Maryland? We were able to pass this and still respect the hunting traditions of people who lived in our rural areas.
But we have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence. Black Lives Matter. And the reason those words matter is the African-American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's going to end up dead in jail.
I agree completely. We don't want American troops on the ground in Syria. I never said that. What I said was we had to put together a coalition, in fact, something that I worked on before I left the State Department to do. And yes, it should include Arabs.
I believe that we need coalitions to come together to address the major crises of this country. I do not support the United States getting involved in unilateral action.
Right? Anytime someone's running to be our leader and a world leader, which the American president is, credibility is an issue out there with the world, and we have repair work to be done. I think we need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
No.
Governor.
All right, there you have it. There's the highlight, and I do have Bryce here on the phone. Thanks for the call, Bryce, and what did you think of the debate, and are you still in love with Bernie Sanders? Hello.
Biggest winner of the debate. Let's go around. John Iadarola, who's the biggest winner?
Bryce, you there?
No.
All right, so I don't know what happened. He called in. Actually, here we go. Bryce, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you still in love with Sanders? Who won the debate?
Sanders won the debate.
I thought Hillary did pretty good.
Hillary did pretty well.
Yeah.
But Sanders introduced himself to the country effectively.
All right. So the overwhelming majority on the Drudge Report said that Sanders won.
That's great.
But other people, and I know the Fox News crew said that they tested the focus group and that Sanders won. Other people are saying that Hillary did so well. She seemed presidential. Nobody else seemed presidential. What do you think?
I mean, I think that Hillary did do well. I think that she is she was well prepared. She was rehearsed. But I think she came across that way. And I think that when she said she represented the banks before the crash and told them to cut it out, and then we had the crash, I mean, that shows what you get with Hillary Clinton regulating the banks.
All right. So what could we expect from a Sanders presidency?
Well, first of all, as he said, you could expect him to ask the country to continue a political movement, because it's not going to be enough to have him in the presidency. We're going to need members of Congress to be more progressive. And so that's part of it, is a push for more progressive members of Congress. And then part of it is going to be a lot of executive action and budgeting priorities and legislation priorities that are going to focus on closing the income gap in America and reinstating the middle class.
Well, are you suggesting the middle class comes from socialism?
I'm suggesting that we live in a regulated capitalist economy. It's very highly regulated. And right now the regulations are tilted to benefit the top 1%. And I'm suggesting that if you recalibrate those regulations to benefit the middle class, that the middle class will thrive again, unlike it has been for the last several years.
And the fact of the matter is, though, that the America gained the largest middle class in the history of the world without any socialism. So why would we need to go make a move to socialism to, as you say, grow the middle class?
I think what Bernie advocates is not European style. I mean, it's not English or French style socialism. It is regulated capitalism that has different priorities than what we see right now, more like our priorities back before the 1980s, when we had a very healthy middle class. I'm not saying that socialism is an answer. I'm acknowledging that we live in a regulated economy. Those regulations can either encourage crony capitalism and it can competition and make the 1% super rich, or those regulations can provide more equal opportunity. And I think that that's what Bernie's talking about, is providing more equal opportunity and reinstating the values that gave us the 1950s and the original middle class. I mean, look, back before Reagan, you know, back in prior cycles, the taxes on very wealthy people were up to 80%. I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying that right now our tax structure has become less equitable.
Okay, so but when you, if you want to get to down to nuts and bolts policy, it was when Reagan came in and he moved, dropped the marginal tax rate from over 70% down to the 30s, that we got the Reagan economic revolution, which absolutely giganticized our economy, and it was a 20-year boom. And it's only since we began to fiddle with that we've come into trouble. Why not go back to Reaganism if you want to look back at a glorious past?
Well, first of all, Reagan was liberal compared to the current Republicans, and Reagan's tax structure was progressive, and it hit the top percent in corporations with much larger tax burdens than they currently bear. Bernie is in some ways talking about going back to times that were more like when Reagan was in office. But I think that also Reagan's legacy was one of creating poverty. It was one of, enriching large corporations and a small percentage of the population at the expense of others. And his policies didn't work long term because trickle down economics failed, and by the time it got to Bush, the economy was crashed.
This is talking points. I mean, the people that lived through that period of time saw an unprecedented raise in the standard of living across all of the income groups, and it's absolutely absurd to suggest that that was a mirage or an illusion, and that people were damaged by it. Come on, Bryce, come on now.
I lived through the 80s, and I have to tell you that in many places, the 80s signified increased pollution. They signified low-wage jobs. It signified a time when we were going back to the racism of Willie Horton. I mean, I don't think that it's fair to paint a picture of the Reagan years as if they were some kind of Valhalla.
All right.
They weren't.
But Bryce, I mean, Obama himself said that what he wanted to do was have a revolution in America like Reagan. Even his arch enemies admit that Reagan was spectacularly successful, and I find it sad that you on the left to support Sanders have to exhume the corpse of Reagan and attack it.
Well, I mean, you brought Reagan up, and I have to say that I'm not attacking everything about Reagan. I just told you that Reagan was more liberal than modern conservatives. Look, Bill Clinton proposed progressive health care, and the reaction from the Republicans and the Reaganomics folks was to propose a health care law that Obama eventually passed. So, we've been dealing with a lot of conservative policies for decades, and they've crashed our economy and they've destroyed the middle class.
The deficit spending is not conservative, and the giganticizing of the social welfare system, which has happened, the reversal of the Clinton decision to he said it was the end of big government. The reversal of that has been the destruction of the economy, the overregulation. Nobody is going to look at Barack Obama and say that he's using market policies. It the destruction of the market comes from overregulation, overtaxation.
No, it doesn't, and there's not any proof in America.
What
are
you?
You're using the True Scotsman fallacy.
Conservative governments have increased
deficit spending every single time. So
Bryce,
yeah,
listen.
Is it neocon?
All right, so I've got a little salute here
spending.
For Bryce. Bryce, I've got a salute here for you.
It won't be easy.
Since you love socialists, do you recognize this?
I think I do.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. Don't cry. Christ, don't cry for America, please.
I'm not crying for America. Donald Trump says America is puny and weak. I think America is strong.
You're strong enough to accept a socialist parasite? I don't know.
Strong enough to accept a politician who's willing to stand up to the oligarchy that's taking over our government.
Bryce, I'm disappointed in you. Bryce, anyway, we got to go. I've got some judicial candidates here, but I wanted to take your call. And
all right, thanks a lot. I'll be in touch.
All right, thanks. Have a great day. All right, folks.
Looking out.
I guess we've got some Madonna here as a little bumper music. We'll be right back to talk to Kieran Ryan and Bill Kinsella. Their plans for the judgeship when they get in. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450, 805-6180 at 718. Well, it's Kelly here, and we have our Judge Wednesday, and was able to get a hold of Bill Kinsella, who had just come back into town, and he agreed to come on this morning to talk about the municipal judge election. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kieran.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Let me ask you guys to just inform the candidates about your background. Bill, you want to go first? You fill people in on where you're from and your experiences?
Okay. I'm a native New Mexican. I was born in Socorro, New Mexico. Raised pretty much in Mexico other than 6 years I spent in New York during middle school and high school. I came back to Mexico, lived with my grandfather. Went to New Mexico Tech. After New Mexico Tech, I worked in the chemistry department. And then later on after that, I decided I wanted to do something different in my life. So I thought one of the things that you could do in any place in New Mexico is do law. And so I decided to go to UNM Law School. Got accepted. Got a scholarship to go there, and I said, I'll take the chance. And I went there, and 3 years later, I wound up graduating. And became an attorney in 1986. Went into private practice in Albuquerque for a little bit. Then became a assistant public defender in Clovis and Portales. And for 3 years, I met my future wife at the end of that period. And that's what made me change, basically a little bit of a shift in the careers. Where I moved to Alamogordo, became a prosecutor in the 12th, which is Alamogordo, is Otero and Lincoln counties, and did numerous DWI trials there. I think I did like 30, 40 jury trials in the first year I was there. Later on, I moved up to white collar crimes and some other felony crimes regards to violent crimes. After that, I moved back to my hometown. I had a friend of mine. Ron Lopez was a district attorney at the time. He had been a classmate of mine in elementary school. And he asked me if I could go over there and become a deputy DA. I did that for 2 years. Kind of didn't like the weather up there. I hadn't gotten, it was kind of colder than I was used to. And I said, let's move back down south. And my wife's hometown is Las Cruces. And so we moved back here to Las Cruces in 1998. And I've been practicing down here since 1998. I was working with the district attorney's office here. And also in Otero County during that time period.
All right. And Judge Ryan, what's your background? What would you like people to know about your background?
Well, I'm from Illinois originally, and I went to law school in Chicago. And I also worked as a district attorney for the 7th Judicial District under Ron Lopez as well. This is in the early 90s. Eventually, I decided to open my own law practice, and I opened my own law practice in Las Cruces downtown, and I was there for 22 years. People may have recognized my building at the Main and Picacho Ryan Law Office. There's a pharmacy there now. But essentially, I was a domestic violence hearing commissioner during that time period, also in the 7th for 7 years. And then I was a domestic violence hearing commissioner in Las Cruces here for a year. And various legal work. I was an alternate in municipal court for 14 years during this time period. And then in 2012, I was nominated by the city council after they vetted 12 attorneys. They nominated me to be the Judge Locatelli's position when he left the bench. And then in 2013, I ran for that position and won a citywide election. I'm now seeking the presiding position, which is Judge Miller Burns' position, which she is retiring from after 16 years on the bench.
Okay, very nice. Okay, so let me ask you guys, what do you think it is about you that would make you a good judge? Your experience, your temperament, anything that you think people need should know about? Bill?
Well, in regards to my experience, I've had all kinds of experience in especially in magistrate and district court. I've done all kinds of trials, mostly jury trials and those that level. But we also do bench trials. We also have hearings on probation, mental health hearings. We've had juvenile hearings. I mean, I've represented juveniles and prosecuted juveniles in regards to that. So I have a lot of experience. I've done all kinds of crimes up to homicides, first degree homicides. So I'm well aware of the rules of evidence, well aware of things that can go wrong in the courtroom, well aware of being in the trenches over 22 years of what's going on in the courtroom. One of the things I can bring is hopefully a new view, a new attitude, and some innovations if possible. Maybe make it a little bit less stressful on the people that come to municipal court.
Would you hand out some a medication? tranquilizers.
I don't know. I think being more informative to the people there, just to let them know, because a lot of people, that's the first thing they do is come to municipal court. I've been to municipal court. I feel stressed out when I go to municipal court.
Yeah, nerve wracking.
It is nerve wracking when you see yourself when you're a prosecutor and you see your name as a defendant, you know, versus the city of Las Cruces.
Which we've all gotten our traffic tickets and such.
Yeah.
So, judge, how would you, what do you think you have to offer that would make you a good candidate for re-election?
Well, I think a very major component, strong component that you need to have as a judge is experience. You know, I have 17 and a half years of experience on that bench down in municipal court, and I've seen a lot of changes occur down there. You also, you know, it doesn't hurt to graduate from the University of Life before you take, so you know people,
uh-huh,
and you know how to talk to people, and I take each person as an individual, one by one. I don't group people together. I take what they're charged with in front of me, and I talk to the person in front of me as if that person is the only person in the courtroom, and we deal with that situation right there, because not everybody's situation is the same, and that's what you need to do with people. And that way it moves things along. You treat that person with a great deal of respect. That person knows you're treating them with respect when you deal with them in that manner. You know, so what I bring is a great deal of experience. I understand how the administration of the court works. I understand the administration of the budget. And I understand how to assess and the employment situation down there with the staff, as well as setting any kind of protocols and policies for the court. I've been a part of it for all this time period, working hand in hand with Judge Miller Burns on all those issues. So that's what I essentially bring with my experience.
Okay, folks, talking to Bill Kinsella and Kieran Ryan, Judge Ryan, and we will be right back. Got a little bit of socialist music for you in honor of Bryce, who's unfortunately not listening, but he called in from New Hampshire. But here's a little Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Kelly O'Connell, I got judge for him today. And 729 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180 to text. I'll try to go out and get my text machine.
I never expected it to. Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days.
Well, it's Kelly here, and I got Judge Ryan and Bill Kinsella, local attorney, and running for the municipal election that would be the head of the court. And let me ask you guys, what are some issues that you've noticed down at the court that could be addressed to make life easier for Cruisins? Bill?
I would say the length of time to go there. I think some of the lines that in regards to people. The municipal court is the court that probably has the most cases that I can think of in regards, because you get a lot of traffic tickets. Those generate a lot of cases, and I think that's where most people go to, is because of traffic tickets. And so I think that's sometimes create a backlog. And I've heard people complain about the length of time that they have to spend down there.
All right, Judge?
Well, yeah, the majority of the people come down there are for traffic tickets. And, essentially, on Monday morning, you're going to see a line down there because people want to take care of this beginning of the week and they want to get it out of the way. Or you go down to El Paso Electric, you probably see a line down there on a Monday morning. But, we have done everything we can to alleviate that line. So what we've done is open up earlier, like 7:30 in the morning. You can go down there and get it taken care of, and we open until 5:30 at night, so people can come before work or after work. So we try to accommodate that. But one of the things I've been trying to work with the city council on is getting us more space for the municipal court, getting us a newer building, a building that will accommodate the citizenry, so they don't have to stand in line, stand outside. They can come in. Now, a lot of these cases we have where you get a ticket and within 30 days you can come down and show us you have insurance. You get a no insurance ticket and we just dismiss it. Okay, it's a 30-day fix-it ticket, and that happens a lot. I would like to bring back defensive driver education, defensive driving school. You go to defensive driving school, you get your ticket dismissed completely. But a lot of times the nature of the beast is when they come into court and then they want to explain to me, exactly what's been going on with them and what happened with the ticket. And after they enter a plea, I always let them explain, well, tell me what happened, Sometimes they get a little far afield, and so you kind of have to bring them back in. And that takes time, and there are people waiting. So you really have to strike a balance between wanting to hear somebody, wanting to hear what happened, where this was at and why they got what they got, and people waiting,
Mm-hmm.
And so you try to be polite to everybody, but I move along, and I start my court typically 5 to 10 minutes early. We're supposed to start at 9 o'clock. I usually start 10 minutes before that because I'm ready to go, and I see there's people already out there, so I usually jump out there and just get them taken care of.
The lines can be around the block.
Well, yeah, that we haven't seen lines around the block for a couple of years, but they can be, down those steps in the morning on a Monday morning. And we have three windows going full time with three people in those windows. And so, if we had a bigger court, there wouldn't be sitting around outside.
Bill?
I think that there's other ways we can use technology. I mean, everybody's now Twitter. People have tablets. They have, all these iPhones and Samsung S6s and all stuff that they're very technology oriented. They're into instant things. I mean, there's going to be a lot of frustration is that we're not, that the court's not using enough the technology in regards to setting and scheduling things in regards to that. That maybe they could be, if there's a long line, maybe they might be a little bit easier to schedule those people in at different times of the day. There's also the ability, I'd like to explore the ability of maybe extending the hours, like Judge Ryan says. Extend the hours maybe late in the evening, because a lot of people are students, a lot of people are working. It might be easier for them to get off at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock to get off than going early in the morning.
What about night court, like on TV?
I think that if it was possible, I think I would agree to that. I mean, I would also like to do, Judge Ryan says about being there. I'd like to, if I was presiding judge, I'd be there also. I'd try to have court too at the same time so that we could get down those lines, I'm a more court person. I mean, I don't mind administration, but I love to be hands-on in the court and helping people out. And I think that may help out with the caseload, especially like Judge Ryan said, if there's such a long line, people should jump in and help out and take care of it.
Absolutely. Line. Okay, folks, we'll take a break here and come back and talk to these judges. A few more questions for them. We've got about 20 minutes left. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and we'll also mention some of your texts.
I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
All right. We do have the judicial candidates here, but here's a few of your texts. All right. The Tea Party's nonpartisan. Don't put down my back. Oh, all right. Kathy says, don't pee down my back and say it's raining. Kelly, please tell Mike McKay to bring back Dave Ramsey, 4-7. I don't know what the heck. She didn't actually say heck. Is on in his place, but it sucks big time. Oh, and don't read this on the air. Sorry, Kathy. Should have put that first. So they say the highest form of flattery is imitation. The second form of flattery could be to do a comedic sketch. Look at the popularity of SNL. Perhaps it's something of an art, something of an American cultural thing, too. The days of political correctness are still in full throttle. It's time to shake PC up a bit and have a few good laughs. You have a droll sense of humor, that's all. Mayor needs to quit the of the sacred one act. And here's another one. Amen. Another great show, boss. Amen, Kelly, with the Reagan point of view. And I got a email from a friend who said it was childish to make fun of the mayor like that. So anyway, I sit here chastened, but with a couple of judge candidates here, good guys that I know both pretty well. All right, so let me ask you this, and this is a hardball question time. The hardball question for Judge Ryan is, you say it's important to have some experience, and yet everybody starts out. You know, everybody has a beginning day, so if experience was the most important thing, then nobody knew would ever show up for a job. So what's your reply to that?
Yeah, well, that's true, and typically people that, you know, start out, typically start out in a position where they can learn how to, you know, how the court system or the arraignments and how to do trial and how to. And then, in fact, in municipal court, the new judges typically go to a school required to go to, to learn judicial demeanor and handle tough situations in court, how to handle contempt and how to handle people that get out of control.
Not to smoke on the bench as well.
Not to light up your cigar on the bench, you know. And you'll note that the Third Judicial District Court, where the district court judges, the person doesn't become presiding judge, you know, just walk right in and become presiding judge. You're usually there for 4, 5, 6 years before you're in that position. Same thing in magistrate court. Okay, so why is that? Well, that is because these positions are, you know, need some time in there, some experience where you know what's going on, you know, see the cracks in the sidewalk, and you know exactly what it is that you want to do to make everything better. And you've been there. So that is the answer to essentially that question.
All right. So, Bill, have you been a judge?
In regards to being a judge, I am currently an alternate in regards to domestic violence, hearings at district court.
Okay. And you haven't been a judge at municipal court. And so somebody says to you, we've got a choice between a seasoned judge and a newbie. What's your argument against that?
My argument is the last 16 years we've had the same administration. There's been no change in the administration. I know that the ideas are the same ideas that go forward. Stay the course. Let's do the same thing that we've been doing the last 16 years. I think that in regards to getting changes done or being innovative, that you need to maybe bring something new in to take a look at things. You need to see what's been going on, what needs to be changed. And maybe butt heads if you can. I mean, one of the things is that people get complacent with the same thing. They think, oh, well, let's do this. My thing is to keep the good people, and most people I know are really good, and bring out the best of them. I mean, and make things more. There's talks about efficiency, but there's also efficiency in regards to making sure that everybody has their day in court, making sure that all their rights are preserved.
Yeah. Okay. And are you saying, in listening to your criticism or your point, is municipal court broken? Does it need to be fixed?
I don't think it's broken. I think there may be things that need to be fixed. I mean, there may be things that need to be tweaked. There may be things that need to be challenged in regards to some morale. Maybe there's some morale. I'd like to see what's been going on as a new pair of eyes, a new pair of ears, trying to listen and see what's going on and have that opportunity to have that.
Okay. And any rebuttal to that, Judge?
Well, I can only say that when I first took the bench in municipal court under Judge Treviz, was presiding judge at that time, that as an alternate, It was chaotic. One judge didn't get along with the other judge. There was accusations flying back and forth. They didn't talk to each other. And then it kind of got worse from there. There were disciplinary complaints flying back and forth, lawsuit threats flying back. It was just absolutely chaotic. The staff couldn't work there. Staff was leaving. So after Judge Miller Burns got on the bench, she kind of brought out the velvet hammer, and things changed. And things changed for the better insofar as stability, insofar as knowing what's around the corner, knowing, trying to improve the municipal court for the people of the city of Las Cruces. And I think that she effectually did that over the last 16 years. And I think she's to be given credit for that. And she was president of the Municipal Judge Association for New Mexico. She's highly honored by all of her constituents and people in her position. So, I would like to continue what she started, essentially. I believe you don't fix it if it's not broke. But some things do need to be tweaked. Some things do need to be fixed to make it better and accommodate people.
Thank you, Judge. And folks, we'll be right back to finish this up. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and 805 6180.
And as for fortune, and as for fame, I never invited them in.
Folks, so we've got the judges here, and or the judge candidates from municipal court, and I've got to ask you guys, how about getting DWI prosecutions back at municipal court to kind of spread the load out, huh? Why does everything have to go through the DA's office?
Well,
a judge?
Years ago, they came up with a pact that the magistrate court would handle all the DWIs because there's federal money attached to it. And there was two attorneys that worked for the city at that time that were doing that. And Susana Martinez was the district attorney at that time. And so she basically hired those two attorneys in her office to prosecute DWI cases. And all the DWI cases went to magistrate court. Okay, so but since then, the system has become rather eroded because the police officers still are filing DWI cases in municipal court because for one reason or another. And so when they file the cases in municipal court, they go right through the same process that every other court case does, bond, arraignment hearings, pretrial hearings, so forth. And essentially, if it's going to go to trial, then according to the law, the city attorney has to enter their appearance in the case to prosecute it. But they're not doing that, so they dismiss the case.
And so, what should be done?
Well, they should enter their appearance in the case if the case is filed. Any time an attorney enters their appearance in a case in municipal court, in my view, the city attorney should enter their appearance as well. I mean, it just goes without saying one attorney versus another. That's just my view on the matter, but I'm not sure why that's not
happening. If you become the chief judge down there, will you challenge the city powers to up their game on this?
Well, I think I'll bring in Jaime Montoya, chief of police, and also talk to maybe some of the city attorneys, Rusty Babington, can sit down and talk about, what we can do to alleviate this problem where the police are essentially having to prosecute a lot of these cases by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, and I don't, it's really an imbalance that needs to be balanced.
Bill, you have an opinion on this?
Yes, I think anytime a private attorney, a defense attorney, puts in appearance, and I think there needs to be some help with prosecution in regards to that. And the city attorney or whoever the attorney, whoever the power may be, that prosecutes should be entering their appearance there to help out. There's a lot of evidentiary questions that police are not equipped to handle unless they've been trained. And most police officers don't understand the evidence in regards to hearsay and how many exceptions there are. And a lot of other things that go on with that. On the other hand, I have seen police officers beat private attorneys every so often, including doing some DWI trials with jury trials. But that's rare. But DWIs are, like I said before, I've done hundreds of cases of DWIs, and I think that they should be back in the municipal court, and there should be trials in the municipal court, and the court should have that authority and be able to have a fair trial, both sides being fairly represented.
Well, gentlemen, I know you guys need to get running. Judge, you need to get your court, and Bill, you got stuff that you're up to too. I appreciate you coming on today.
Billy, thank you very much for having me. Always happy to be here.
And Bill, thanks for coming in. I know it's kind of a new experience for you on this show, but we really appreciate you. I called you late last night, and you were able to get here. So I think that means if you get elected, you'll show up to work on time.
Yes, I will. I appreciate it, Kelly. Thanks again.
Thanks for coming in. All right, folks. Our judicial candidates, Judge Kieran Ryan and Bill Kinsella. So two quality candidates there. Now I've got a few stories, and I just having read my friend's email, I admit it was a little bit of a shot on the mayor. I apologize. Let's get the mayor on here, Ken. Let's get on this show, and let's have a little debate between you and Miguel and Gina. No more silly jokes. How childish. But sometimes you need a friend to pull you aside and kind of explain stuff to you. But let's get some political debate or conversation on the show from the mayor, because you know I think we would all agree that we're desperately in need of some improvement in the city. We need to improve the economy. And we need to get some jobs for youngsters coming out of high school and or the dropouts or college. But I do have a little bit of – I thought I'd throw a little mix in here, a little weird news and a little bit of science as well. Weird news, a woman finds out her husband married another woman during church. And this is in Florida. Stood at the altar before the entire congregation and announced that Miss Plasmon's husband of 21 years, Patrick Sellacourt, had in fact married another woman. The incident was at the End Time Sabbath Worship Center near Pine Hills in Orlando. And so she was shocked. She went home. She did some research and found out that her husband had married another woman without bothering to tell her about it. So she reported that to the police, and now he was arrested and charged with bigamy. But it's absolutely amazing that he allowed that to be announced at the church. All right, so you believe that choosing reduced fat or lighter foods is a healthier move? These so-called healthier foods are worse than full-fat versions. DailyMail.co. Items labeled light doesn't mean they're low in fat, nor it doesn't mean that they don't have other undesirable ingredients. And so anyway, be careful when you're buying the light stuff, because they've got some stuff in here that they're mentioning, but I won't bother to go. Just kind of bear that in mind, I guess. And we've got human brain. I read this last night. I thought it was interesting. Human brain may be designed to give us hallucinations, say scientists, and this is from the Independent, UK Independent. A trait associated with psychotic disorders may result from a process used by brain to make sense of the world. So a lot of times when we look at stuff, our brain fills in the whole picture. We might get a little snippet of some image in our eye, and our brain has this incredible ability to fill in the blanks, the blank areas. And so they say that same, and which is very important for us to be able to make sense in situations where we don't have all the information that's coming into our mind. So our mind, from the experience of seeing other things similar to it, will fill it in, and you will end up with a picture in your mind that is, they say, curiously like an hallucination. Now, here's one last story. We're almost out of time here, but this story is on the fact that NFL players have a rare brain disease. Almost all of them, 95% of all NFL players have rare brain disease caused by head trauma. CTL found in 87 of 91 deceased former NFL players tested. And it's called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a rare brain disease believed to be caused by head trauma. And they say a lot of these people are linemen, people that you wouldn't associate with having head trauma. And they say, so a frequent small impacts can be even more devastating than large ones. And one last text here. Let's see. It takes a real man to apologize. Kudos to you. Okay. So anyway, sorry, Ken. Now that a friend pointed it out to me, a little bit over the line, but let's get you in here and have a debate. Thanks for listening in. We'll come back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces. Ciao.